show, we pray. Heavenly Father, we are happy to acknowledge your great presence in a way that you have not been known since the time of the Apostle Paul as the great revealer of your own word, but even farther back than then, the time of Moses, where you came down to deliver Israel by means of the prophet anointed and your great power vindicated. And then even back further than that, Lord, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, you yourself came down, not sending some ambassador, envoy, or any other person. And then even farther than back, that before the fall, the communion we had with them, which will soon be restored as we come into the millennium, which we appreciate very, very greatly. We thank you for this. Knowing that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever makes it even more wonderful. And then realizing what you did in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've done again today and are still doing it, and we thank you for that. So, Lord, we just praise you for everything that you have done for us and are doing. And at this time, Lord, we would make special mention and request for Sylvia Perkins' mother, Mrs. Shippey, dying of cancer, Lord, at this moment with no hope in sight, which perhaps she does not even desire nor could desire, being past 70, though that does not bar her. But knowing her days literally are over, we pray that you'll be able to help Sylvia what she's doing there and get her as comfortable as possible and those things lined up for her father as is required. We certainly commend them to your care this morning, as well as this entire congregation in the message. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're on number 13, according to Brother Branham's message and things that are to be. And in our last discussion of this message, we found Brother Branham for one of the last times warning the Pentecostal women concerning their attire. As usual, he spoke against them wearing clothing that pertains to men. Now, not only did he speak against it, but he actually said that the Holy Spirit was crying out against it. Now, that in itself is a very strong statement that would be considered too great a cry against a very minor thing. Very minor that women are dressing distinctly against the scripture. And of course there are so many other things that the church would consider to be of far greater importance, far greater moment, substance, that it would raise a question amongst the Pentecostals as to Brother Branham's right to say that. But remember when he was in Edmonton, and it was very frigid up there, and I can understand why. We won't bother to talk about it. But he called those people a bunch of mossbacks. And then he stood there and he said, the same one who was discerning and told every one of you the truth concerning yourselves, your problems, and so on, told me to say that. Very peculiar. And yet it's not peculiar insofar as the woman, exactly how she conducts herself, is a perfect type of the condition of the church and what the church is into, being female. Even as Brother Branham said, if you want to know the hour in which you're living, you watch the Jews. If you want to know the condition of the church, you watch the woman. And so the Holy Spirit here is calling out against the dress of the woman and making it a very important issue, which of course you and I, as being very rational, great minds, superior intellects, hogwash. Yeah. Who except a very tiny minority, would believe for one instance that Brother Branham is telling the truth, that the Holy Spirit is crying out. Well, let's just look at it. If you believe him to be vindicated, you believe him when he said the truth, that the measure of the Holy Spirit is the same measure as the Word. So therefore now, the measure of the Word and the measure of the Spirit is that the Word is crying out against women's dress. Now you have a twofold witness, and the twofold witness will either take you to heaven or put you in hell. It doesn't matter to me where you're going, only matters to me where I'm going. Huh? I said, I'm being nasty and mean again. This is where Lee Vale is known around the world as being very, very nasty, very, very mean, has no love. Well, I don't resent that remark, but I challenge it. Now, William Branham didn't have any love. He never should have said it, and I have less love because I belabor it. Well, I want to know, did he say it or did he not say it? Did he have a right to say it? See, this is the whole thing. Well, they would call this spiritual trivia. Brother Branham didn't call it that any more than high heel slippers, high heel shoes, particularly spike heels. Now, I know Sister Branham never wore spike heels. I could almost swear on a stack of Bibles, so I wouldn't want to do that and be guilty. She got concerned about her shoes, so she said, Bill, I think maybe these shoes aren't right. What'll I do? Well, he said, honey, what you do, you wear these out and then never duplicate them. I wish I'd have asked her at that time exactly what they were like. I have my suspicions that Meaty never wore heels like that. She couldn't even drive a car, so I don't know how she'd walk down the road. She never was a dresser anyway, in the sense that she would go out there and try to look like, we're a beautiful woman, wore beautiful, she looked lovely in her clothes. I'm not saying she didn't. I'm just saying I could never believe for one minute that Sister Branham, from the day she was born, ever looked like the world. And I'm going to stand on that right from the pulpit here. So the Spirit of God is crying out concerning that. And he warned that to continue to do so would keep them from ever attaining to the full stature of Christ. And remember, he's talking about the adoption in there, because that's what you're looking at in my understanding, my estimation. I trust I'm not twisting his words at all. Because we're to come to that in this age, and remember, he said that comes in the fullness of the adoption comes in the resurrection. So I would say here, without a doubt in my mind, that these women, wearing their clothes the way they are wearing their clothes and doing what they are doing, positively will not have a part in that first resurrection. If they would have a part, then why would the rest of the women who have a part in the first resurrection ever refrain from doing what these other people are indulging in and still make it? In other words, if I can eat 6 gallons of ice cream and not get fat, why shouldn't I eat 6 gallons of ice cream for talking about fat? Now, the point is, somebody else eats 6 gallons of ice cream, puts on 20 tons. You see, if something wrong, their reasoning is completely fallacious. Either you believe what the prophet said, or you don't believe what the prophet said. Either this is right, or it is not right. Most people still don't understand there's not a drunk, sober man, there's not a black, white bird. Say, well, I could cross the two and get a gray. That's exactly what you'd get. You'd get a gray bird. You wouldn't get what God wanted. You get a hybrid, you get something which is not in the original. And if it's not in the original, then there's no part in the end, because Alpha is Omega, so therefore everything at the end must be from the original. Huh? Well, come on. That's the law. Now, let's face it. If you take certain elements, and how many elements are there now? How many, roughly? See, everyone, when I was a kid, I think they said there was about 80, then it was 60, then they jumped it up to 90. Now they're up where I don't think anybody really knows anymore the actual number of elements. But my thought is this. If you go back to the elements, which are the true building blocks, and don't go all the way in theory back to what science says could be hydrogen, because, hey, I'm not really interested. See, if you take it back to hydrogen, take it back to God. So we're looking at the natural elements. So if I have all these natural elements and they're blended in a certain area, and then I turn around and I can break them down, all I'm going to get is the natural elements. Because that's all was put in there. So if we're going to have an omega, which means a harvest, the final development and realization of, the question is, what is the development and the realization of? It's what you put into it. I can't find in a cake any more than what I put into it. You say, well, just a minute. There were some gases and bubbles. Hey, look, don't be a nut with me, please, for God's sake. The bubbles were in there. Well, just a minute now, I only put in some yeast. You see, there again, all was that stupid talk. And I get so fed up with it. So always the mouth shooting off, the mouth going into high gear before the brain even gets out of neutral into some kind of a gear. See, sowing and reaping is a law of God. It is God Himself. So, all right. He's very powerful in his statement here. Now, we can't change it. He said, the Spirit crying out against the church, not just ladies in the church, but the church, of which these women are type, and warned continuing to do so, would keep them from ever attaining to the full stature of Christ, which would be a part under the complete headship, and have anything to do with headship as of this moment, where Brother Branham said headship is returned in the form of the Holy Spirit. And of course we know the Word then must coincide perfectly, which is the full Word of God revealed for this hour. Never mind what they say in German in any other place. You always try to call in something that Brother Branham didn't teach. Why didn't he deal with this? Why didn't he do this? Why don't you shut up? I keep talking about my hangnails. For the first time in years, I got a hangnail again. Thank God it's just disappearing, and it's filthy. By this, I mean it hurts. Come on up here and heal my hangnail. Come on, anybody on the tape, anybody who sounded my voice where these tapes go, come on, do me, I'll pay your way here by Concord. 2.5 hours out of Paris. Come on here. And say, thus saith the Lord, and heal my hangnail. Now, if you can't do it, shut up.
I tried before God to shut up and to listen. See, I'm excluded from headship. I'm excluded from recognition. Do I hear something telling me, the audience, you're catching what I'm saying? Why, Brother Bill, that's white throne. That's like those who come up and say, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name and done wonderful works and done wonderful things? I never knew you. I don't know you now, and I never will. He said, Brother Bill, woman, repent! Kick their stinking shoes off and dress the way you're supposed to dress. Is that too hard? I don't understand women. Before God, I loved them, but I don't understand them. Today in style, you can wear a bone in your nose. Yes, you can hang a tea kettle from both ears. You can punch your nose, and my God, you can put an anvil in there if you want. And you can smear your head with dog vomit or anything. You're in style. And yet our women cannot, even preachers' wives, cannot, will not, put on shoes the way they're supposed to put them on and dress the way they dress. And you know why women dress? They don't dress for men. Whoever told you that women dress for men? They undress for men. They used to. They dress for women. So the Pentecostal church lost its modesty and dressed like a bunch of harlots. What were they doing? Well, I'm identified with the rest of the girls out there, the Protestant hussies. from the mother harlot church. You understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you the truth. Now you begin to get the idea Brother Branham was talking about, full identification. Where's the headship of the Protestant harlots? With mother harlot. Remember, Mother Harlot gave the invitation years ago. This is 10, 15 years ago or better. When they're all over there in London, and a Roman Catholic priest with the anointing on stood up before all the Pentecostals. He said, "You Pentecostals, for years," he said, "we Catholics had to go to you for prayer. But," he said, "now you're coming to us. Quite a switch, isn't it? Why don't you come home to Mother?" And they said, "Oh, I'm so glad you." Oh, no, they didn't. But they did, because they didn't change their dress. But even the Catholic Church has more respect for the dead saints than the Protestants do. They say, "I was over there in Greece and I saw." I guess they changed by now, though. And over there, one of the islands, they had this big church, and it says, "Out of respect for the Lord and the dead women, please do not wear slacks and try to come in here." All right, now if we read about the full stature of Christ, where Brother Branham preached on the stature of a perfect man, you have to go to 2 Peter, the first chapter, which we read previously, but it's just opened here perfect, so I'll read it. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ." It doesn't say even of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says God and the Lord Jesus Christ. "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness." Notice that, life and godliness. "Through the knowledge of him that hath called you unto glory and virtue." That's through justification. You really have faith in him and get to know him as your great Savior and the justifier. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that you might by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience godliness, brotherly to godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love." And you notice in there 8, that is love, and God is love. And Brother Branham says, going through these steps, word upon word, you become absolutely full of the Holy Ghost, and Christ is in control. Now, he says right here, there is no way that you can come to that if you're going to wear that type of dress. Evidently, there's a perversion of the mind. Now, I realize once again, they're saying, Brother Branham, you are dealing on minors and majoring on minors. Forget it. Now, before we read again paragraph 68 on page 22, we ought also to recall the dress code in Deuteronomy 22 and 5. So let's go back and take a look at it. 22 and 5. And it says in here, it's talking about certain things you do and you don't do. And it talks about the fourth verse, "Thou shalt not see thy brother's ass or his ox fall by the wayside and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely help and lift him up again." That's even on the Sabbath day you can do that. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. I realize that many people think that this is completely changed through grace. But that is not so, because grace has two principal components concerning faith. And one is a passive faith, which is a revelation, which is doctrinal. And the other is an active, which you carry out the word that God has ordained that we carry out, which is an obedience to that word, because always the Holy Spirit's in the word. And if a person wants to know if he's walking in the Spirit, then you're walking by the Word. Many people have an idea to walk in the Spirit is to just listen to something within their heads or their hearts, and they call it being led by the Spirit. Now, that's entirely erroneous. To live by the Spirit is not the same as living by the Spirit. But if you want to, if you live by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit are two different things. But if you want to really walk by the Spirit, you'd have to live by the Spirit. And if you want to live by the Spirit, you got to walk by the Spirit. And remember, the Word is in there, and you cannot change it. There is no mystery concerning the will of God, because that is the Word of God. So, all right. In Deuteronomy 22 and 5, we read this. Now, it goes far beyond the dress code, but actually is a word separating the men from the women, as pertains not only to the fact that they are separate entities, which we know male was created different from the female. They're absolutely different, and they must remain different, but it goes even to their occupations, and it encompasses such things as implements, vessels, weapons, armor, furniture, instruments, jewelry, utensils, dress, literally anything. So what you're seeing here is a complete separation of the two, and that separation is so complete as to their essentiality, which we call their gender, you wouldn't have any way to make a mistake as to who's male and who's female. Yet today, and I've quoted this man, I forget his name, he's evidently a director of Hollywood or something, and maybe not anymore. He said there was a time when you could tell if two people were in the back seat of a car kissing, you knew right away one was a boy and one was a girl. He said you can't tell anymore. In fact, he said it's come to the place you have to undress them to find out. And it's exactly what Brother Branham said. Well, we'll read a little bit further here before I make that comment. But we must understand what we are talking about here, that there is a segregation of the two, and never the twain shall meet. There's no such thing in reality as a male-female and a female-male. You say, just a minute, they're hermaphrodites. Great. How would you like to have a society of hermaphrodites? Where do you find anything in Scripture that goes along that line? Where do you find in nature, and you've got to look at nature, that is common, the common denominator? The homosexuals are trying to tell us right now the third sex is what's going to be the great major sex. Well, I don't have too much doubt there. I don't have any too much doubt. Because that's why the wrath of God comes upon the earth. And if there's nothing there for the wrath of God to come upon the earth, well, how's his wrath going to come down? So let's just look at it the way things are. Thus, what is specifically for the woman or women or specifically for men, especially related to the true nature of either gender, must be avoided by the gender for which it is not intended. The Spirit cries against it, and any opposition to this will surely prove that one contrary to this word is not going into the adoption. It behooves us to remember who we are and to begin to act like it, because that lies within our power. Now, I'm going to do some reading here, and I'm not going to do some juggling. I'm going to leave something out and then come back to it. I'm doing it on purpose. So, all right, we are at paragraph 68 on page 22. Now, remember, this is one of the last sermons that Brother Branham preached while he was here on earth. We have a mixed audience here. That is, Brother Branham did. We have some of those that were absolutely in touch with the reality that he was in touch with, loving everything, believing everything, knowing that if we were wrong, we have a standard and an absolute whereby we can come into the rightness. And remember, everybody's talking about political rightness. And what is political rightness? It is governmental. And so are we politically correct, because our government is from heaven, and that government is here right now. Absolutely. And we are absolutely politically, we are the only true politically ones correct. Why? Because God's above all these politics. He's going to come down and institute his own, which is righteousness, and only in this message is there righteousness. There isn't any other message that has it, because he said nothing outside of this message will come to light. And therefore, Christ is the righteousness of those who come into light. You say, well, Brother Branham just said that. Oh, my God, have pity. You don't believe the Bible. Nobody then believes this book is by vindication. The scholars all say Paul was vindicated. And then they turn right around and laugh and sneer at him. They say the Bible written by prophets, which is true. It was a predictive part. The other written by scribes. You realize that people are so messed up, there is no way they can see past their nose just 1 inch and still see straight. Sure, who wants to look past your nose and see anyway? Better be back in here. Because that's where it all is. Now stop a minute. Why do we have revivals, Brother Branham said? Why do we assemble ourselves together? Now watch. Why am I always rebuking the people? Why am I calling you Pentecostal women to quit wearing paint and makeup and bobbing your hair and stuff like that? Why am I saying that? Because the old-fashioned way of Pentecost used not to do that. The real Bible way is not to do that. In other words, he said, you are a traitor to your forefathers, and your forefathers got it from the Bible. You wearing these shorts and clothes that pertain to men. Do you know the Bible says that is an abomination to God? But we permit it. Why does the Holy Spirit keep crying out? He knows there's something lacking there. We must be in the full stature of Christ. We must be sons and daughters of God. We must act like children of God. Now I want you to skip right over and leave that and go to page 23, paragraph 72, and we'll come back to what I'm not going to read this morning. Oh, brother, sister, you and I in this world wherein we live, let's conduct ourselves as sons and daughters of God. We're aliens here, but our behavior ought to be according to the commandments of God, that we are sons and daughters of God. Our behavior, we should act and do, and everything according to what the law that God has laid down. And it's an abomination for a woman to wear a garment that pertains to a man. It's wrong and sinful for her to cut her hair. The Bible said so. It's an uncommon thing for her to pray. Now, you might get a little mixed up on that, but the idea says that even nature shows you that it's not comely, it's uncommon that a woman would cut her hair. And what he's saying right here is, the scripture tells you that it's not right for a woman to even pray with her hair cut. Now, I realize that many people, they say, well, bless God, I prayed with my hair cut. In fact, I just don't have any problem there, and God answered my prayers. Well, that's no problem. Anybody can use his faith. Like, you can go right today to a witch doctor, believing it's God that you're talking to, and that fellow can do something whereby in your faith you can get a healing. Many people simply don't want to understand from the Word of God what Brother Branham taught, how these things really work. So there's no great problem for her to come. And there's no great problem even for a transvestite or anybody else to have a Pentecostal meeting, everybody get healed, and stand before God and say, Lord, did I not do these things here in your name? And he said, yes, and I never knew you. See, you're just not putting the Bible together the way the prophet did it. And that's the only thus saith the Lord there is to understand with his understanding. So I know, Brother Vale, I got the Holy Ghost and I'm this. I know, look, just don't, please, don't talk to me. I've been all through it. Except for the biggest names in the world with their big tents and anything else. I challenge anybody to come behind me in my ministry and tell people more than I told them, actually correct, and see people healed, everything else. It doesn't mean anything when it comes to this word. It's already explained what I am or what I could be. 100% right or 100% wrong. And remember, they come in the end time in sheep clothing. They look identical to the real McCoy, but they're not. They're wolves inside, and they have only one purpose, ravening wolves to destroy it. I don't know how you think this morning, but that actually grieves my mind and grieves my heart. It's appalling. It's disturbing. It's literally overwhelming. And I'm telling you right now, let's face it, you don't even know who's doing it, who's sitting beside you. Don't even try to figure it out. But just get this one thing and get it flat. You watch your own clothes, women and men, the same thing. You watch your own thinking. You watch your own mouth. You watch your own judgment. You watch these things, because I don't care who's up there and who's down there. I am responsible for Lee Dale 100%, and my wife next. And if she doesn't listen, she's out of luck. She's going to answer for it. So you're all individuals. You be careful who pumps your ears and says what and how you come back. Be sure your sin will find you out. Now he says right here, that's an abomination. An absolute abomination. Well, that which is an abomination... What is abomination and desolation? Brother Branham told us at the end time they'd be worshiping a false worship on the holy sanctified ground that God prepared. What is the gate Brother Branham talks about in this message, which he will? The Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore now, with a wholly unsatisfactory understanding in religion, with a wrong spirit, a wrong Jesus, a wrong gospel, they're standing in the holy place and claiming his name, and standing right there and worshiping and praising God and doing all these things, and they've got their hair all bobbed up, they've got their face painted up like Jezebel, and I'm not too hard on those things, and they got these filthy clothes on, And I don't try to be hard on that, so I'm going to preach a clothesline sermon, this and that. But the point is, they can't do it. And I'm asking you a question, why do they do it? Because they're filthy. They say, oh, that's the women. No, that's the men. The women only type the church, and the men are in the church. Don't throw off on the women. Understood, and last Wednesday, some women said, that was pretty good, but I wish you'd now deal with the men. I'm dealing with the men, girls, when I'm dealing with you. And when Brother Bannon dealt with the women, he was dealing with me. What do you think? Do you realize female is only type? Every born child of God is a son. That you as a female nature and female appurtenances are only for one thing, alongside the male, would propagate and bring these children of God into this earth? Yeah. And when it's over, what happens? There's no sex. They're neither male nor female in heaven. Huh? What are they? They go back to the original, which is the life of God. God life. God's children. And God's children only act in a certain way. And the men positively remain men, and the women remain women, and they don't come together. As far as their natures are concerned. I'm not excusing men, I'm not excusing women. Say, well, a man's this way, so you just got to forgive that. A woman's this way, forgive that. Hey, there's one word for the male and the female. Not two words. Separate dress codes. Separate haircuts. But thou shalt not commit adultery, said to the male. Thou shalt not commit adultery, said to the woman. Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not covet. It said to both. Sex doesn't have one thing to do with it. Then when it gets the male and female together, it says the male is supposed to respect the woman because she's the weaker vessel. Well, that's good. Beat her up and rape her, everything else. Great. And the judge says, fine. You know, I'm tired of preaching before God. I might as well tell you right now. Well, I'll tell you later, but I'm tired of preaching. Literally doesn't mean anything to me anymore, hardly. Nobody listens anyway. Nobody gives a rip. You say, well, the world's not in your shoulders. That's true. The world's not on my shoulders. But I can just see where it's going. People don't believe anything vindicated. They got their own stupid ideas. A man come along thousands and thousands of times vindicated. Never one miss. Never one miss. Oh, well, isn't that great? Now we'll do the same thing. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. But they're not. I wish they would try it. But they're not. It's wrong and sin for her to cut her hair. The Bible says, uncommon thing even to pray. She can't even pray. She said, well, just a minute. I get all these great things done. I'm a woman. Yeah, yeah. Just wait till judgment day, you're going to find out. Someone got after me, a great noted minister. Not long ago, said, Brother Branham, come one of the hands on you. You're going to ruin your ministry. I said, what? He said, bawling out these people like that. I said, I'm just telling the truth. Oh, I believe that. I'm Pentecostal, too. I believe women shouldn't wear short hair, shouldn't wear pants, and those things the way they do and paint their faces. They shouldn't do that. But God called you to pray for the sick. My, what a cop-out. Why did they want those women being that way? Well, I'll tell you one reason. They preached against it. They'd soon lose them in the church. The church would soon be nowhere. Because she's your husband. Let's get out of here. Here. Like a little puppy dog he'd call. I'll go along. We need a bunch more Azuruses. Old Gentile man that stood up and his wife refused to have relations with him. He said, kick her out, get me another one. I'm not talking that's what you people do here, we do. Now listen, get this flat. I never said that's what I believe. I said I believe in men like him who had guts. Follow him around like a puppy dog. Well, that used to be. They don't do it anymore. They got some mad at women. Now they're cohabiting with each other, messing everything up. God knows where it's going to end up at. I'll tell you where it's going to end up. Right in the lake of fire. Brother Branham said he called me to preach the gospel, not just pray for sick. Well, he said, I believe in that, but I said, here, just look what you've got. All these big programs, television, everything else. I got nothing but God to answer to. That's right, I said. I don't have anything but God to answer to. He said, you're going to ruin, you're ruining your ministry. And I said, any ministry that the Word of God will ruin ought to be ruined. That's right, certainly. That's exactly right. He was looking forward to the white throne, standing there, 6,000 years of billions of people standing there. He said, well, you're going to ruin it. I said, who's going to tell it then? Somebody's got to say it. Somebody's got to stand for what's the truth, no matter what it hurts. And friends, as Christians, as people that believe we're going to heaven, the Holy Spirit itself will type us in the Word of God. Sure it will. So all you got to look in the Bible and see just where these things are, and you'll come out understanding them very, very well. He said, you know what you ought to do? People believe you to be a prophet. You ought to be teaching these women how to get gifts of prophecy and things like that, and great higher things instead of these little things. Now, I understand that herein is a marvelous principle of love that these people are talking. Now, Brother Branham, ignore this. Just ignore it. And you get them so involved with these superior, beautiful, spiritual things, the rest will just fall off. Now, how many people here this morning believe that? Well, that's a fallacy right there. That's an old hogwash love they call. There's no love in that, brother, sister. Love is being one with that Word there, because God in His Word is one. And the love of God, God's own nature, is in that Word. How are you going to get by this Word and say, now, ladies, look, I tell you what, we'll just overlook this whole thing, what you're doing, even though you represent the whole church, and we know inside, because you do represent that church, there is nothing you can do but follow through what is in your spirit, because that's the spirit of the church. And every man in the congregation has that same filth. And every woman has that same filth that you are now representing. You say, Brother Bill, that's cutting it pretty hard. Well, I meant to cut it pretty hard, and I'm going to stick with what I said. Because this is your church. Brother, I'm going to repeat again. Brother Branham said, if you want to know what time we're in, look at the Jews, they're the clock. If you want to know what the conditions of the church is, look at the woman, because she's the type. And there she is. And she's going to be that way, and it's going to get more and more and more. Now look, you are not so backward about hearing news, reading news, which is the newspaper and magazines. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised some of you read a whole lot more than I do. And yet it's very hard to pick up anything at all, any paper anywhere, but you're going to find so-called Christians, the full gospels, the fundamentals, the whole bunch, are thoroughly messed up in filth. What is it a picture of? It's a picture of what's inside the church, organized and denominational. And you cannot tell me different, because those women epitomize those men and women, even who are very strict. As Brother Branham said, this woman, she's going down the streets in her shorts. And Brother Branham said that every man that looks at her and has adultery in his heart will stand before God as having committed adultery with her, even though she, in her shorts, taking off most of her clothes, is truer to her husband than the woman may be wearing a voluminous skirt in hoops and five or six petticoats. Was glad to take it all off and indulge in filth because she wanted it. And he said, this woman is just as big an adulteress, not having let any man touch her, as this woman over here who wanted a lot of men to touch her. You do what you want about it. William Branham was a judgment prophet. So I indict this generation. So all right. instead of these little things. Teach them these great high things instead of these little things. Let's go to the Bible a little bit. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. Now let's see. The 10th chapter. Notice it says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. The dead fly in the apothecary's ointment. As one preacher once said, it doesn't say the dead horse in the slough. It says the little gnat, little fruit fly, makes the ointment stink. So this woman who wears these clothes and men that allow. What does it say over here in James? Second chapter and verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, is guilty of it all. And Revelation says, take away a word or add a word, your name's out of the book of life and into the tribulation. So I said to this man, how am I going to teach them algebra when they won't even learn their ABCs? When they won't even do the common thing, the natural things. How are you going to tell them higher things when you won't even start from the lower to the least, is what he's going to say there, the lower or least. You want to get on top of the ladder before you hit the first rung. That's the reason you fall, see? Begin at the bottom and climb right up on as God leads you up, see? Cope your life, in other words, cope with your life according to every bit of the word that God has ordained for you to do. So Brother Branham is actually telling the people here that there's also a moral issue involved, as we've been talking. Because he said after the opening of the seven seals, all we're supposed to do is to believe and walk in that light by living real good Christian lives, which I'm sure we all agree is the way to go. We should behave ourselves and act like Christians. Our conduct should be like Christians because we're aliens here. All right? Let's get that picture. If we're aliens here, having come from another country, the only reason we are aliens here is not because of what we are intrinsically. Now watch this carefully. It's because of our inability to be compatible with what is going on down here, because it's not compatible from what we came from. That's why Ernie and Jean this morning are having a bit of a problem driving a car. They drive on the wrong side of the road. Brother Hall didn't have too much trouble. I don't think Ernie and Gina will either. But the point is, that's exactly true. They were brought up on a different side of the road from which we were brought up. So if you're an alien, see, it means that there's no way, because of your code, your understanding, your conduct, you just don't fit in. Well, the Bible says women are supposed to dress a certain way, and at the same time, let's not forget this. It says the man's got to dress a certain way. Now remember what I read here. It has to do, it encompasses, implements. Now, how many of you ever seen a picture of a cadaver? Well, not a cadaver, so my guess it is, well, let's say this, an animal that's on the table and has just been skinned. Now, you see pictures. God forbid that I even look at it, but you have seen rabbit skin, haven't you? You've all seen these things that are skinned, huh? Well, can you tell me the difference between that animal and a woman who lifts weights? I see one bit of difference. She looks an ungodly mess. Say, just a minute. Don't just a minute me. Brother Branham laughs at his own self when he was on a bus and a woman with short hair and in overalls, a Rosie the Riveter, but not even that high a status, sitting there smoking a little stogie, and she's telling a joke, and she said, "That's a good one." Bang, slaps her on the knee, doesn't even know it's a woman. Something's wrong somewhere. Something's wrong. Women and men are meant to maintain their individuality gender-wise. Now, there's three genders. Masculine, feminine, neuter. And both male and female, because they would not listen, have become neutered. You're going to have more and more and more homosexuals than you can shake a stick at. You better believe it, because that's why the wrath of God comes upon the world. And remember, Sodom and Gomorrah is just about 100% homosexual. The world's getting more and more. Listen, implements, vessels, weapons. You mean to tell me women should go to war and carry guns? What does the great admiral of the United States fleet want to do? He wants women on submarines. Now, in the light of tailgate, where's a woman going to hide if the men want to rape her? Well, I tell you, if they do that, we'll court-martial them. But they won't kill them. And they should. But what's a woman doing there in the first place? So just a minute, Brother Vail. Don't just a minute me. I can go to the book of Proverbs 30, chapter 2, and tell how the woman acts. I can tell she gets up in the morning, and she can milk cows, and she can hoe in the garden. She can do a lot of things she does to raise a family. I don't understand those things. My mother did, your mother did, you're doing it now. There are a lot of things she can do common to men, absolutely. There are a lot of things she can't, though, because I'm going to tell you what. She's initially suited for certain areas, and so is a man. And we come to the place now, it says here, now it says furniture, instruments, jewelry, utensils, dress. So I say when Brother Branham is talking about the woman in her dress, he's going far beyond a simple understanding of two people wearing two distinct separate sets of clothes. Because I doubt if anybody can find that the late Mr. Forbes, who was a close closet homo, ever went drag like they claim Hoover did. And I'm bringing up public names and I care less. Because I'm showing you where the world's going. And it's not just the dress that people think, okay. Like I talked to Brother Brown about long hair, short hair. I said, Bill, you know that these Pentecostal gals that I know with their long hair, they are so mean. They could lick the jam off a doorknob 4 feet away about it. He said, Lee, I never said it made them spiritual. I never said it made them spiritual. I just said it's the Word of God. So you see, I think I'm on pretty safe ground telling you these things I'm saying this morning. Some of them I said on Wednesday night. In order to let you know this thing here, it's way, way deeper than just woman cutting her hair. My God, why can't she pray? Woman wear a man's clothes or vice versa. It's abomination. God hates it. You can't worship. It stinks. He won't take it. Hey? No way. Call yourself a Christian, then go to God and repeat the Koran. Call yourself a Christian, then tell God, hey, Lord, the next life I'm in, I don't want to be this person. I want to be something like maybe Jack Kennedy, you know, bon vivant. I don't like what I had. You don't talk to God about something that's not in His Word. You don't look to God in those things. There's no way. Because He is a very jealous God, and believe me, He's going to stand by His Word. All right. Now, we are going to go back. Well, I can find it. Hope I can find it. All right. We're going to read what I left out. Because here's where this little illustration fits in real good. Long ago, a little story was told. I noticed one colored brother sitting there in the back, so that's why I'm going to tell this story. In the South, they used to sell slaves in this country, of course. And when they had slaves down there, when we had slavery, before the emancipation, that is the proclamation of emancipation, or the emancipation proclamation, I don't know how you put it. And they would go and buy those people just like they would buy from a used car dealer. They had a bill of sale and sold those human beings just like they were used cars. You got a bill of sales with them. One time a buyer came by, and he was a broker. He was going around those big plantations buying slaves. And he came to a certain big plantation where they had many slaves. And he wanted to see how many they had, and of course what they were like. And they were all out there working, and they were sad. They were away from home. They were from Africa. The white man had brought them over here. The Boers had brought them over and sold them for slaves, and so they were sad. They knew they'd never go back home again. They'd live and die in the land where they're at. Many times they'd carry whips and whip them. That's the owners would, and the slave masters. They were the property of the owner, and he did with them what he wanted to. If he killed them, he just killed them. Whatever it was, he just did it. That's slavery. Like Israel was in many of the nations that had been brought into slavery. And they'd take those poor slaves, for they were nothing but servants. They were crying, you know, all the time and sad. But he noticed one of the slaves, a young fellow, his chest stuck out, his head up like that, like an eagle, I guess. They never had to whip him, never had to tell him what to do. So that broker said, I want to buy that slave. The owner said, he's not for sale. Well, he said, I want to buy him. No, not for sale. Oh, is he the boss of the rest of them? No, he's not the boss, just a slave. Well, maybe you feed him different from the rest. Little experiment, see? No, they all eat out in the galley there. What makes that boy so much different from the rest of them? He said, here's the thing. I wondered for a while, too, but that boy, an alien from Africa, but in Africa, his father is the king of the tribe. And yet he's an alien away from home. He conducts himself as a king's son. He knows that across the land that his father is the king of the tribe. And now he conducts himself thusly because he knows that he's the son of a king. Oh, brother, sister, you and I in this world wherein we live. And he goes right on to the garment. He's right on to the garment. Now, having not diverted, but showed them the sanctity of the human body that belongs to God in relation to the garment, which would not end just in a garment, but as a conduct that shows what's really in your heart. In spite of all these other things you aspire to and say you got, all your theology, you are acting not like an alien in a strange land, but you are acting like a citizen in this land of which you are a citizen and are not a citizen of the other. So he says, the axe has fallen. And where the tree lies, that's where it stays. Now, he goes back to the thought of the child being born. And remember, he is dealing strictly with predestination based upon foreknowledge. Every man knows engaging in sex, unless he is a complete idiot, he knows that this woman can be pregnant or not, according to what he or she is doing. There's your foreknowledge. They know there is a light that can be expressed. Now, God in foreknowledge wanted that expressed light. Comes by individuals like you and me. As an Adam, all die. Came down through Adam. But with it is predestination. There's not just the foreknowledge in the sense that you can surely foreknow that this act will bring forth children. The idea is, what kind of a child will it bring forth? Nowadays, it seems that nobody gives a rip. And if the child gets in the way, just kill it. See, read the Dayton newspaper. Every time you pick it up, there's a woman that just having killed her baby or let her boyfriend kill the baby. Poor little kids. Why'd they have them in the first place? Well, they know what's going to happen. They're not stupid. They're not dumb that way. But you see, as to predestination, they are a billion miles out, but God isn't. Every one of his children comes here at the exact time, at the right moment, for the right thing, and he is going to see that one through. As the Apostle Paul said, he which hath begun the good work in you will perform it until the Lord Jesus Christ. And when was that work actually begun? Through the conception, through the mother and father, for that foreknown, predestinated one at that exact time. Now he's going to bring forth that child. Now think. He said, now think, if God in his mercy has so endowed the mother that before the little baby's born, it's a craving for some vitamin, and the mother's words speak for it. Dad, I want a cantaloupe or watermelon, I want something or other. Why, he'll do everything he can to get that. He used to, but not anymore. Because he knows that he wants his child born as perfect as can be. Not today, they wanted to abort it. They give one of the, what's that, U-235 or 68 kind of pill they got now in Europe. Oh, yeah. Just slug that down, baby. That takes care of all our misdemeanors here. There ain't nothing to it. But anyway, Brother Brad's talking of a person that's got something less, more than an animal. He's talking about somebody that's got something. I don't mean to denigrate the whole word, but let's look at it. It's going so fast now. The kids today know nothing but everything they shouldn't know. It's gone. Don't listen. They're wasting our money. That's why the nation's going to go broke overnight. Remember, who's got the gold and who's got the paper? Don't ever forget that when you talk finances. The minute you do, I disown you. I just you haven't been here. What have you been here all these 10, 12 years under my ministry for? Go on home and stay home. Huh? I'm just telling the truth. What is it? Who's got the money? Who's got the paper? Jews. Who's got the gold? Why are they getting together? Who's running everything? Come on, tell. Don't try to tell me something different. See, don't try to tell me different. See, now right now, they brought everything down to filth. All right, now this woman here, and she's got a good husband. He wants a baby to have everything just right to be a proper child. Why, he'll do everything he can to get that because he knows that he wants his child born as perfect as it can be. And he'll do everything he's able to do to get it. How much more able is God to get it? He's the creator. Now, we were looking right here in understanding that Brother Branham is bringing out the principle again of the goodness of God. Now, remember, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And remember also, in this, when you're talking about this here, that he said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And it went right down to the fact of choice, which is foreknowledge, election, predestination. And so we're looking at the goodness of God. And the minute that you fail to understand predestination as the goodness of God, it proves that you are a million miles from being a firstborn son. Now, you could be a secondborn, like a foolish virgin. I won't argue that, but I have my doubts. I just have my doubts. You understand what I'm saying? Now, most people don't. They hate the doctrine. This is the one thing that I discovered in writing the Church Aid book for Brother Branham, that preachers stood up on their hind legs and showed whether they were horse or mule. Because I got blasted on every side. Brother Branham does not believe in predestination. There is no such thing. And they can read their Bibles like I can read my Bible. It's a hard pill to swallow, but swallow it. Like Brother Branham said concerning women, they're sewing machines, aren't they? Start putting your clothes back on again. I can't say that in this church. We've got so many fabulous seamstresses that they dress up like, oh man, fashion sheets. Such beautiful garments. Not to mention some names, which I will not mention. I believe my two hands aren't enough. I've got to start on my toes. To the women here that can sew beautifully and so beautifully, they don't care two bits what's in the stores. No. And long as you're here and my wife wants your kind of clothes, we're going to pay you to make some dresses for it. And hang out your shingle, girl. Make a bit of money. That's what you should. Men, I'm not saying a man can't be a tailor and use a sewing machine, but that's You got to think we're getting a little bit border on some things. Not making an issue of these things, but I tell you, I appreciate the women here that can sow like they sow and do what they do for their families. You go to a lot of places, they say, well, Brother Branham, what's in the stores? You know, what's in the stores? You got dry goods shops. Have you girls been to some of these dry goods places recently? I admit that I haven't seen some really beautiful stuff in there recently, but I've seen enough to be happy. I don't know, Marilyn's very happy. We just throw it her and say, get to it, kid. And she can cox it. We get somebody. All right, listen. Predestination is what Brother Brown is talking about, and the people don't want it. They don't want to believe it. They curl up inside. Why don't you believe it and see what happens to you? Okay. You know what? Reasoning. Bringing down every thought that exalts itself against God. Now, think how able he is to prepare us a body and live like his own glorious body. Now watch right here. He is taking, and what many people would do, say, would be desperate to the scripture. Because when you get the scripture, in my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you so. Behold, I go prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, Brother Branham explained that in my Father's house is like the Tudor house, the house of Rose, and so on. There's many great mansions, which means there's many little subdivisions. You go to the Orients, and they'll say, well, that means in my Father's house, or in my Father's apartment house, there are many apartments. Well, I don't believe that. You know why? Because first of all, we're going to go to a vast area here and live in the millennium, build our own houses, sweat, no doubt have a great time. And everybody doesn't like to work. I got to wonder if you're going to go there. You know, just kidding, of course. I think everybody likes to work. Wants to be active and all. It's great, greatly therapeutic. Even Benjamin Franklin knew that. Why shouldn't he? Now, what he's doing here, he's using this particular text in a personal way for you as an individual. And he's saying, look, if God is preparing this marvelous place for you as a people, don't you think for one minute it is not preparing a tremendous place for you as an individual? Hey, what in the world is the use of me right today wanting to go and find some real nice apartment with everything just the way I like it when I should be in a hospital? I can't get around the thing anyway. Can't get up the stairs, can't get in the elevator. I'm not saying I'm that way, but I could be that way. But what would be the use if I was? I should be someplace that, you know, is commensurate to my body. Well, why would I go to heaven and then be sick and dying? Brother Branham already declared it. He said, for such a perfect place, there's got to be a perfect individual, and he's not talking about your soul that always was perfect. He's talking about your body and my body. So notice what he's saying here. If he's able to, he's going to prepare a body like his own glorious body for this wonderful place we're going. If we want to live, there's something in us. Calls us, let me give this again. If we want to live, there's something in us calls to live, the deep calling to be. And there's something in us that calls to do right. Then God will call somebody on the platform. Now watch now, he's getting the people ready, this evangelical, or a pulpit, that'll preach the absolute truth. Why? See, it shows you then, if you're a real child of God, you begin to cry, God, take it away from me. Circumcise me from this. Take these things away from me. Why, it's needed for your heavenly home where you're going, where he's gone to prepare. You've got to be a real word bride of Christ. Now listen, he is telling you what I've told you dozens and dozens of times, never having preached from this paragraph. I took it from the Bible in Deuteronomy, where Moses categorically said, if you don't have this word to go in to live by, you are not going in there. You need this. And Brother Branham said, if there's anything in you that calls for that place, that is crying out, you will have heard my voice now, women change your dress and men change your dress as a step in the right direction. Well, you begin to see how wrong it is, those other things out there will go. He's telling you this in plain English, that the dress is merely symptomatic of the real problem. He says smoking isn't the sin, and all these other things are not the sin. He said there's something in there, it's your unbelief, and they're not believing what he says, what the Bible says. So then what are they going to do? They're going to dress the way they want. And it shows they are not one of that group, and they're not going in. Now look, I'm not saying that William Branham said it. I was preaching a few nights ago on the sacrifice and the days of the atonement. I was preaching on the only place that God, the only church that God will meet a man in, the only church God will meet, the only place. And that is, he said, the place that he put his name in, only one place, the church. There's only one church got the name then, only one gate got the name then, only one place got the name then. He said, I won't meet them in any other place but the place, the gate I put my name in. Now he doesn't meet you in Methodist gate, or Baptist gate, or Pentecostal gate, or any of them, but he put his name in his son. He said, I came in my father's name. All right, we've had Watergate, we've had Iran gate. We have now Whitewater gate. How about Sun gate? All the time they miss the Sun gate. Now we got a bunch of Jesus only that say they believe this message. They've turned to Jesus only from Trinity. Now Trinity doesn't have three gates. They haven't got a gate. Oneness doesn't have a gate. Jesus only doesn't have a gate. Come on, let's face it. Far as I know the Word of God, far as I know William Branham. Why, he said, we're not Trinity, we're not oneness. We stand in between. He didn't say they believed in two gods. He explained it thoroughly. Read it for yourself. It's I preached on it for years. But no. Anyway, that's their business. Now listen, this son, the son gate, he said, I came in my father's name. Now what's his father's name? Jesus. Who is his father? Emmanuel. Well, it's really Jehovah Elohim. At one time it was merely Elohim. In there was Jehovah. It's just like in him was Jesus. That light came forth. The son came forth. That was the son of God. Brother Branham said so. That was a logos right there. Sure. Which when he took on human flesh and God himself came in, that was the perfect logos. Absolute, complete manifestation. Everything right there. All right. See? Now, what's his father's name? Jesus. Which is what? Joshua. Which is what? Jehovah Savior. So Isaiah came in his name. Now, and he said he put his name in this gate that I put my name in, that was the sacrifice. And in Jesus Christ is the only place that you'll ever find fellowship and worship to God. Now that you got to go the whole gamut on that. You got to go the whole gamut. You got to understand the scripture. This is that Son of God. This is that one that died. This is that one that said, he that seen me has seen the Father. You got to see it right down there. And he said, when you take these emblems and take them, remember me. The death is part of it. But in whose death are you remembering? What about him? When you talk about your children that died, you just talk about the death. You talk about all the things about that child. All right. You're looking at this. Who is he? Now, what's it today? This becomes the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. This becomes the composite of the multi-members making one great body. Like Brother Banner said, David had one wife, 500 in number, constituted one wife. He was a prophet king. The prophet king is soon going to be here. The whole bride unto himself. Are we a part of that bride? See? Where's the recognition? Well, I can tell you one thing. You can have millions of people agree with what I'm saying at this point. But when you come to the other points that Brother Branham brings up, and what we've been talking about, they will not agree. You see, well, I belong to this church. It doesn't make one bit of difference. You've got to belong to Christ. A certain denomination minister and another said to me, Mr. Branham, look here. Jesus said, whosoever believeth, the Bible said, whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is born of the Spirit. Now, that's Brother Branham's rejoinder. The man says here, whosoever believes. And Brother Branham said, just a minute. Don't cut it off so short. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is born of Spirit. And I said, don't the Bible also say that no man can call this one Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost? So now Brother Branham and this man are in agreement up here. They can go back and forth, back and forth. See, no problem. He that believeth, believes that Jesus is the Son of God, right down the line. But when it comes to this point here, Brother Branham takes his own individual stand. And I said, both of us agreeing on what's up here, there's something else, you're missing it. Doesn't the Bible also say that no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost? So now up here, you've got two people, one with the Holy Ghost, one without the Holy Ghost, who can claim that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, claim to be born of the Spirit, but when you get down here, which one is saying it by the Holy Ghost? Now, my question is, who is the Lord Jesus Christ really? Who is he? Now, until the opening of the seals, you could get by. But not at the end time. You know why? Because you're right back to the Garden of Eden, to the Tree of Life. You're right back to every mystery sealed up is now open. You're right back where righteous is righteous, filthy is filthy, and you can't mix. I hope you understand these things, because this is so vital and so important. It's important. If you don't see it, you simply do not understand, Brother Branham. See, now listen. See, you can't make the Bible lie. It's got to hook right in. So you have to become absolutely born again of the Spirit in you, that witness out yourself. You know that He is the Son of God. Now, He's not His own Father, is He? There's the mystery. Then if you are in a part, if you are a child of God in the Word of God, how can you deny the Word? How can the Holy Spirit make you believe a creed that you have to do something like this when the Bible said something else? We have to join a church, do this, do that, when the Bible plainly tells you what to do. See, and then when you see that, then you jump right into it and get right with it then. No leaven, no creed, no nothing at it. It has to be coming into the womb of a woman with the egg. Ha ha. That's the soul right down here, the inner man with the germ. And then when that little egg begins to develop, begins to put forth germs, it doesn't put one human germ, one dog germ, cow germ, it puts all human germs. And when a child of God, when that predestinated, that which is predestinated, that's a bad word to use, but I've got to use God's Bible. The foreknowledge of God could predestinate, make everything work to His honor. When that predestinated seed that was in you, and God called you, and that little eagle of a seed in there heard the Word of God, it will build on top. One word on top of another one, on top of the other one, on top of the other one. It'll not mix with creeds. Now, Brother Branham is teaching what a true baptism with the Holy Ghost is. See? Now, let's keep reading. We just leave that. We could comment. Notice, in these gates every day that they should eat new manna, and there would be no leaven found among them through the 7 days. Is that right? The seven church ages then just keep moving right up on and grows like a germ, absolutely unleavened bread. No leaven shall be found among you at all, just the leaven of the Word itself. And that's the only one. And that Word is God. And God was made flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, which is the gate. Now, you can't deny there's two people right there. Yet if I say it, I'm preaching to God. If Brother Branham says it, they just go, oing. Why would you do that? When you go and lay your money on the counter and say, all right, 10, 20, 30, 40. And the merchant says, 10, 20, 30, 35. Oh, crook, liar, scuzzball, 40. In other words, boing. You don't go that when you go to a store and you give a guy $40 in money and he said it's only 35. Why then go boing with this? Why lock it out? Why not say, just a minute? Hold it. That Word is God. He's Rhema Logos. God was made flesh in the person. In the person. There's a person standing here. And God's over here. So here's the River Jordan. Right here. Here's a person. Here's God. Show us the Father. He that's seen me has seen the Father. You're looking at him. You're looking at me. Brother Branham, what does it mean? You're looking at me, aren't you? Same thing. Huh? What do you call every one of the bride? Messiahs. Little Christ. Seen the Father? You're looking at me, aren't you? Say, oh boy. Of course I don't mean it the way Brother Branham or Jesus meant it. But if I'm a son of God, and everyone here born again, male, female, doesn't matter. We're talking about life. Child of God. Anybody seeing you is seeing the Father because the Father is in you. Now that's the lowest concept I can give you. The little higher concept is the conduct, where you get fruit. The third one is manifestation. But let's face it, you can be true or false on that one. So the real step is go right to the prophet. And the prophet go right back to the word. Now, what's going to happen at the tail end of everything? New Jerusalem, with all the outside filled with the foolish virgin, the wise bride virgin. They're right here in a 1,500 square, 1,500 mile high parable city. Lamb's on the throne, pillar of fire above the throne. That's Elohim and his son and all the other sons. Out there are the rest. There you are. And it's still the same picture. He that sees me sees all of these. These are my sons. These are my product. This is of me, so you're seeing me. You can see him in nature. Look at the beautiful flowers. And thank you for the lovely flowers. I just love flowers. Why? Because it's a good picture of the wonderful love and mercy of God. Okay. There's the gate I meet you into worship when you follow the commandments of God. In other words, he said, you talk about commandments, that's all very good. In other words, now you could have the woman with the perfect dress, the man with the perfect dress coat, everything right down the line. But you miss this, you're still out. You've got to put them together. You say, well, hallelujah, I've got this, so who cares about this other? That's not true. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That you think for 1 minute you can have a passive faith without an active faith, you this morning in this church are kidding yourselves and cutting your throats. It is impossible. Because I believe the doctrine, hallelujah. And then you live something else. For I stand up here and preach the doctrine like a like a Pavarotti can sing or Crusoe. Beautiful job. Or recite like a Charles Lawton or some great person. And turn around and live something else. Don't ever kid me and kid yourself, brother, sister. You have a passive faith. You have an active faith. Therefore, if you've taught, if you've tonight just come and said, I offer Jesus Christ my life, and you never received the Holy Ghost, come into it. Now listen, here's what he's saying. This is for everybody this morning. Listen carefully now. He's giving you the great secret of the universe. Come into it. You must do that. You must grow into it. Don't expect something overnight or in 1 minute. It's exactly like a pregnancy. Absolutely. Now, ask God to pile word on top of word like that until you become the full stature of the Son of God or a daughter of God. Taking the things of the world out. First John said, if you love the world or the things of the world, it's because the love of God's not even in you. You've been deceived. Now see, these women are after the world. Take your clothes off. Wear men's clothes. Do this, like I said the other day. In the name of science, tell me, why does a woman have a zipper in front like a man? Oh boy, that ought to tell you something. Whose head screwed on backward? Shows what's going on. I'm not. Now listen, get this again. That's symptomatic. There's no word there. There's not going to be any Holy Ghost there. People think we're dead here. Oh, we don't shout, we don't do this. I tell you, as far as I'm concerned, I doubt that there's five more preachers preaching as much word as I do every Sunday or every night when I'm here. And what should you and I be more and more full of then if I'm preaching the truth? more and more of the Holy Ghost coming up to perfection. See, nothing wrong with Brother Branham's preaching. Could be wrong with me, but I tell you, I'm preaching you the Word of God as he said it, and he said right there, you must receive the Holy Ghost. You just don't say, well, I believe that, I believe that, I believe that. Oh, yeah, I concur, I concur, I concur. And suddenly you don't concur anymore. In other words, you piled in a dog germ with a cat germ. They're doing it now, and they're getting a cat bird. Yes, well, that's kind of a... That's already got a cat bird, don't they? But I don't mean it that way. I meant an actual bird and an actual dog. And they're doing it. See? They've already... Remember, what they're trying to do now is create this part beast and part man. They already got him. Serpency, 99% of the world's at. Okay, we're finishing right now. If you love the world, the things of the world, the love of God's not in you. You've been deceived. You've got the love of the world there. And it's deceived you. The devil has by the piling things on and showing you this. And hey, you cannot take one word of God out of the Bible. What's caused the first sin? Not just a big point blank lie, but because Eve misconstrued, the devil did it for her. One word. One word broke the chain. Eve refused to take one word. That was the beginning of the Bible. Jesus came to the center of the Bible, and he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And at the same time, and the entire word of God, do you believe that's a revelation to him? The entire word of the Lord, the entire word of God. Now listen, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then listen to me, how is then... Can we talk about this, life being passed on. And life is passed on through human instrumentality. But divine life is only passed on through the Word. So, if we're going to build a church, the bride of Jesus Christ, we had better be in this Word and never leave this Word under any consideration whatsoever. No service on Wednesday. I don't know when I'll be back preaching. I can't tell. Good brother Bailey here. Can't let a good man go to waste. Can we? No, we can't do that. Let's rise and be dismissed. Appreciate y'all. Love y'all. We got some lunch back there for your lunch ice. People like a little lunch and pray a little bit, which is good for you. And pray all the harder. Which we certainly want to do. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for time here. We pray it's been well spent. And we learned the things that the prophet wanted to bring to our attention. Knowing that the only law that's going to bring eternal life is the law that is in Christ Jesus, which is the law of the Spirit, which we know we cannot claim until we are with that word 100%, piling it word upon word, Lord, until the bride comes to that final place where headship comes and takes over. And we know, Lord, that headship is already here in the form of the Spirit. When that Spirit becomes incarnate to us, we're going to rise with him even before that. Rise with that Spirit, be taken right up to where Jesus stands for that incarnation, where we will have the supreme joy crowning him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that will be the Son of God, the Son of David, the Son of Man, and we'll begin to rejoice in our unique oneness as never before, because we are now in a greater position than ever. And in our hearts we know if it weren't for this position and this word, we wouldn't get to that position. So help us, Lord, to pile word upon word upon word upon word upon word until it comes to him who is that word himself. And we become so one with him. Father, we know that's the key. We wouldn't be here this morning unless you brought us here. We wouldn't be saying this unless you told us to say it. We believe we're all predestinated. We're all way back from eternity to eternity. Help us to stand like that black boy stood there as that slave with his head erect like an eagle, remembering he's the son of a king, an alien in an alien land. Grant it, Lord. Heal the sick amongst us. Cheer up those that are need cheering. Dissolve doubts, Lord. Bring a sweet spirit amongst us. Remove every fable, every tale, every lie, every conjecture, innuendo, whatever else might be, Lord, that might be amongst us under any consideration, until we consider him who is the altogether lovely, and in our consideration now meet eye to eye, because our eyes upon him, and we give thee glory in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.